Bargman, that's why his name was in it. And you know, the sad part about this being down here with these girls, he's terribly incapacitated. He is a victim of polio, and he cannot stand without the aid of two crutches. And the two girls he has are adopted. And one is a sweet and kind, and the other one is just the opposite. See, she's going to be 13 in June, and it's at this time where I want this, I want that. And he doesn't correct them or anything. He just gives them what they want. And I think maybe the fact that they can run away from him. They take advantage of his disadvantage, is the way I would look at it. But it's a very interesting thing. And he has said to me that like at Christmas time, he thanked me for all that I was doing for them. They could never have done what was accomplished without my help. Now, I just go down there like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and there's a Mrs. Domino from over there in Beachview that goes down on Thursday and Friday. But it's sad. And his mother comes on Tuesdays. Presses his cars. She's 83 in January. So if you have your faculties, we have to thank God for it. We have to really thank God for it. It's a gift, believe me, because any one of us can be, let's say, like Dolores, Sister Cosmos. That's a shame when you think of how capable. All she'd have to do is pick something up, and the next thing you know, she's created something. She was so artistic. She was a lovely person to be around.
You know, Aquipa, could you tell that Danielle was influential in the town?
And you mean in the line that the people would follow what they wanted, huh?
Well, that would
if they put up like a political thing. I don't recall anything like that.
What about, did they donate anything? Were they responsible for anything being built to Senator and Parish?
Well, I guess they could have, but like that, I don't remember even reading the cornerstones. Now, when I was being sent to Aliquippa, my brother John was living at the time, and he was a bricklayer. And a couple of years previous to my going there, he says, Vaughn, Patricius, I'm going to tell you about Aliquippa and how it's laid out. It's in plans. And then he told me about when he was working for his contractor, you had to go wherever he sent you, and he was sent to Aliquippa.
To help build the homes?
The post office.
Oh.
He helped it. Every time I went past that post office, I thought of him because he died. My brother died. He was only 39 years old. And this was in 1938, and he had lobar pneumonia, and he died. Now, that's one of the things that I remember about being down there in Aliquippa, too. Columbus Day, I had to go home because he had died. And I have a faint recollection of the sisters were going to go someplace after I came back from the funeral. They're going to a movie or some kind of a social, and I remember that I had said to Sister Manavari, I said, oh, I don't think I ought to be going and enjoying something when I knew that my brother was just laid to rest. And she says, I think it would do you good. It must have been at dinner or something. She says, I don't think you ought to stay home. I think you should go, but it's nice of you to be respectful to the dead. Now, that was a thing that I remember. That was my first year there. Like, you know, he died on the 13th of October, so I wasn't there too long. But every time I went past that post office, I thought of him.
Well, did he tell you about the plans?
Yeah, he mentions how it was laid out in different plans, and he mentioned like some of the numbers, like Plan 11, Plan 6, and Plan so and so, and you know, that kind of thing. And he says you'll like Aliquippa when you go there. But since then, Aliquippa has gotten a new church, and the convent is connected to their two houses. Now, I have gone back there, and and I taught in the summertime. My first year at Quigley High School, I went to teach summer school, and it was so different to, after all these years that you haven't been there. Like this was, I left 1940, now I'm going back in 1967, and how different things were. And I remember the people that lived in the house next door to us, and he was the janitor, Mr. Espy, I think the name was. And how nice they were to us. And I remember their family and how you'd see the children, how they were growing and that kind of thing. Lita, like, for instance, we had Father Lane at Huey Lane.
Oh, yeah.
When I was with St. Catherine's, this little talk would come in. And get, sisters would be making meditation. We'd come in and sit down to chapel. The sisters always said that's where he got his vocation to be a priest. But, it was so different. I went over to that school and even the different, the school was different. And then they had the new church. You see, like the school and the church were connected when I was there in the early years. But now everything has so changed. I was glad to be able to go back and see all these changes. So,
was Father's Honor supportive of the sisters?
Yeah, he was good to us. Oh, yes. Oh, he was good to the sisters. I remember him, you know, if you had an opportunity to talk to him, because he would come to the classroom and he'd say, now sister, if you want to, you can have a little time off, and he would talk to the children. And the office was right across from my room, and I used to go over and see his sister Angel Doris at the, now for instance, if I wanted to do something and I didn't have time, I had a chance to go over and talk to him, and then he'd say, be back at so and so. That was nice of him to give you a little relief. Oh, I think Father Sonner was sent. I think he was a very good man.
Did the people there look on him as a leader?
I don't recall whether, I don't remember, you know, anything in that line about, he was so mild. What I remember about him, he was, I imagine that he would be able to stand on his 2 feet if some problem came up. But it would be done in such a way. It would be just like he was real quiet. And I don't think that he could get boisterous. Did you know him at all?
No, I didn't.
Did
I just know him.
Why, I'll tell you, he reminded me, and I used to tell this to Sister, that he looked like Sister St. Matthew. I used to tell her that, but he always reminded me of her. But he was nice, and he was gentle. But I don't remember ever saying anything that I was doing wrong, or I guess if I were doing something wrong, and it was brought to his attention, or to any one of us for that matter, that he would mention it, that it would be done in a very mild way. Now that's my recollection of the Father's Honor.
Wonder who are some of the people then that the people in general look on as leaders?
You mean in the rectory or in the school?
Well, I'm thinking basically in their daily
life.
Whether it involved the church or whether it involved the parish or their...
Well, see, to answer that question, I would have to know who was on the church committee, you see, that type of thing. And whoever would be on the church committee, I would think that they would be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Or why were they there, you see? I think from the year one, a church would have a committee, don't you think? Because I remember my older brothers and sisters, see, my father died when I was only about 3 or 4 years old. And I remember them saying that my father was an usher in the church, that he went out for things like this, and then he was on the church committee. So that's a good while ago. So they must have had. It might have been a maybe it was a smaller group, and as years went by, but I don't recall ever hearing about the people, you know, that were prominent in you know, Alan Clifford. I think that that Campbell family were very well liked. Now that's, and I know the Raymers. I had the daughter in school, her name was Mary Margaret. And other O'Neills. And who else did I think of? The Tierneys. They were good to us. And I imagine that if they were good to us, then they were the same way with the priests. And anything about the school, I think that if you needed any help, that they would come to your rescue. And the Camels, and the Moonies, and let's see, it just seemed as though these people, that they talked to everybody in the house. There wasn't, they weren't like a friend to one particular sister. Everybody was included. And whenever they got something, it was something that everybody in the house could enjoy. Like I say, who's somebody else? The Smiths. They lived next door to us. There was a Joan Smith and a Frances Clare and a Jack. Now, he became a priest. There's one of the children. I think he became a Capuchin father. Yeah, and I don't recall what Joan did. I had her in school too, and they were a nice family. And I think that that they were well known and would be considered leaders. Mm-hmm. You see, and they lived on the house right next door to us, but ours faced Sheffield, Sigamore, and theirs faced. Franklin. See, it was going up this way, and we were across here, and ours was the only house on that street, and it was Sigamore at the time, but I think their mail is now Sheffield. It seems to me that that was one of the changes. Well, maybe on account of connecting the two houses, and the other one was facing Sheffield, so maybe that's what brought it about, you see. But that was a
I don't have more specific questions. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I'm trying to think of that. Well, I'll have to tell you something funny that happened Easter time. All the sisters were just laden with Easter candy. And you'd bring it home, and our community room table would be full of all this stuff. And in those days, you didn't have storage, like a deep freeze or whatever. So Sister Major Laurie says, well, why don't you put it all together? And we had these great big cans, like they were flour cans or whatever, and we put them in there. And then when we were having recreation, my sister would say, well, why don't you use up this candy? Well, my goodness, it was coming around the time, June, and we still had some of those Easter eggs. So, Sister Mary Rose had the girls, Smiths, Frances Clare and Joan, and I think Jack was in on it. I think they picked up all the stuff around the, it's getting around the time when we're going to be leaving now, and we wanted to leave the place fixed up, and like papers blowing around the house. So she asked them if they'd mind doing that. Well, whenever she was finished, she gave me two Easter eggs. And they were down under the window in the room where I was. I think I was washing windows or whatever, and I heard them talking, so I stepped back just to see what they were saying, because they were appreciative of Sister giving them the eggs. So Frances Clare, she says, wow, an Easter egg in June. That was, I thought that was funny. I came up and told the sisters about it. We had a lot of fun over, but see, and we had no problem having the children come and help us. Now, for instance, another thing. In those days, when we were teaching, we had what you called 3/4 and 1/4 in the marks. Did you ever hear of that?
No.
Well, that's what we had to do. Like, for instance, you take 1/4 of their test papers and 3/4 of their daily mark and combine the two together. Well, when the end of the year came, it took an awful lot of time. So, anyway, I asked Ruth Sattler if she could come down and help me. Oh, she'd be glad to, and she was really good in her work, as you can tell with what she's like today. So, anyway, she came down this night, and and then she had a brother, Carl. He came down and he said he could help too. But they were children that, the children that I had were not in their classes. Mm-hmm. Like Carl was in the 7th grade, she was in the 8th grade. And they were children that you could trust, that they wouldn't be running out. Well, they wouldn't get a chance anyway because it's the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But they were helping me to get these 1/4 and 3/4 together and getting the marks ready for the report cards. So here we're working away, and I got some of the Easter eggs out. So I'm going to give you a little treat. Well, anyway, we sliced up the Easter egg, and they were enjoying it. And time was passing, but every once in a while we'd stop from our work and talk about something funny that happened or whatever, until this night somebody came knocking on our door. It was warm, and we had a screen door, and we weren't too far away. I think we were in the music room. No, we were in the sacristy, right off from the chapel, because there was a big long table there, and that's where we were working. And all the other sisters were up, and they were doing things like getting ready to go to retreat and that kind of thing. And we hear this knock on the door, and she didn't wait for an answer. She says, "Are my children here?" It was Mrs. Sattler, and it was 11 o'clock.
Oh,
and we were still working on these marks. So I went to the door, and I said, "Oh, my goodness, what time is it?" And I had a watch. I pulled my watch out, and I looked at it, and I said, "My goodness, what time is it? Your mother must be scared to death about where your children are." So anyway, I went to the door and brought her in. And whenever she saw the plate with the candy on it, she said, "Well, no wonder they like to come down here, no?" And she was pleased, but she was teasing them. Oh, I think that they had a very happy home life, the Sattlers. But that was another thing that, you know, the willingness and how you could trust them to do this and not go out and talk about marks or whatever. I guess they wouldn't even remember all the names. But that was an incident that happened to me. And another thing that we had was every Tuesday, Father, he's dead now. Is his name Curtin? No, I don't think. I think the pastor's name was Curtin. He came from Sewickley to hear our confessions. You know, in those days, the priest came to the convent, and Sister Dolores talked with him. Maybe she talked. I think it was after confession she was talking to him. And he must have been alone a good bit at the house, and she decided, well, we'll give him a little refreshment. So one of us, whoever went to confession first, would go down and make this chocolate drink or whatever and bring it to him, and then he would talk to his sisters. And that's what gave me the impression that he must have been lying with, that he would talk to us for a while. And I thought it would have been nice if she had invited him to eat with us in the evening. But he had other things to do, and he had to get going. But I can't think of what his name was. But I know he's dead. I don't think it was Curtin. I think that the pastor was Curtin, and he was the assistant. But I bet you if I asked St. David or somebody, they'd they would know. Oh, gosh. Oh. So that was my 2 years in Alabama.